Blog Talk Radio.
Media is what's going on in the Ukraine and Crimea and that part of Eastern Europe. Of course, I haven't heard anything from any of these talking heads about the history of that area, and which is very important, which plays into what's really going on. As one Polish refugee told me, that the Ukraine is like a no man's land. It's gone back and forth between the Russians and the Poles, and at one time Poland in the 15th century was kicking Russian butt until Peter the Great came along and started to assert Russia's supremacy in that area and built the father of the Russian Navy. Now, some of the historical facts that are ignored by the media is the Crimean War. That's when the British and the French decided to block Russia's attempt to have an opening from the Black Sea into the Mediterranean, and the whole thing stalemated around Sevastopol, which is in the Crimea, and it was a disaster for the British, primarily, and the French. And, of course, the only thing the British and the French got out of it was, or especially the British, was advancement in treatment of wounded soldiers and Florence Nightingale, who started their nursing. After Stalin devised the farms, Ukraine was looked at as the breadbasket of that region. And so the Ukrainians resisted, and what Stalin did was ordered the commissars to seize their horses, their livestock, their pigs, their seed, and deliberately created a famine which starved to death children, mothers, fathers, grandparents, about over 10 million people were deliberately starved to death by Stalin, and as his punishment, revenge for their resistance to his plans to collectivize the independent farms. And, of course, the progressive media here in America and around the world have ignored this fact. In fact, we have a rare video in our historical archives, which we will put up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, which we are refocusing to focus on political corruption, little-known history or ignored history, among other things. Now, what happened was in 1939, there was this unbelievable pact between Russia and Hitler. It was known as the Berlin Moscow Pact, Molotov was the commissar and Ribbentrop was the foreign secretary for Hitler. And they did this pact, which is a non-aggression pact, and then Hitler turned around and double-crossed them and launched Operation Barbarossa in June 1940, summertime, in which he decided to crush Russia and to seize the Ukraine, which was the breadbasket, which would feed. A lot of them supported the Nazis and because they hated Stalin. They remember what he did. And, of course, what Hitler did, instead of embracing these people, he persecuted them too. His Erzsen group or SS troops went in there, looked for Jews and any opposition. He deported able-bodied Ukrainians and others to work in the factories of the Reich. I think General Vlaslov was Ukrainian, if I'm not mistaken. And he was first in the Red Army and was a hero at the Battle of Moscow, which the Stalin's armies turned back Hitler's armies. Vlaslov was captured along with other anti-communists, and the Nazis created this Freedom Army, and General Vlaslov was the head of it. After Hitler was defeated, 1945, Stalin wanted revenge, and at the conference in Yalta with Churchill and Roosevelt, Stalin demanded that all the total repatriation of all the Soviet troops, POWs, who were held in German camps and were under control of the Allies. And among them was Vlaslov and his Freedom Army. And so I know for a fact that Ted Samuel was a sergeant at one of the railroad stations where these former Red Army troops were loaded into the trains to be shipped to Moscow. And Ted told me, unfortunately I lost it, that there were soldiers who and Vlaslov's troops who tried to commit suicide because they knew what their fate would be once those trains reached Russia. Ted was later the program manager and station director of KLW-FM here in San Francisco, where I was a radio producer and when I was a lecturer also in the San Francisco School District. Now, what happened with Vlaslov, what happened when those trains reached the marshaling yards in Moscow, the NKVD, which was the Russian secret police, went on board those trains and pulled off officers and, of course, Vlaslov. They were taken to Lubyanka where they were tortured and put on a show trial. Eventually, Vlaslov was hanged, and I think we have a picture of him somewhere. But this was the fate of those people, and the Ukrainians have never forgotten. Now, Crimea is a different story. Crimea is primarily Tartar, and there are a lot of Russians there. Now, maybe the solution to this whole thing is we're not going to go in there with our armies, especially in the United States, because we're bogged down in Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, South America. Maybe the best thing is to do the Yugoslavian solution. After Tito died, in fact, this is his, I think his death, anniversary of his death. Oh, no, he declared Yugoslavia free of the Germans and the Turks and all of that. Break it up. Let the Crimean peoples go the way they want to go, probably with Russia, and let the Ukrainians move to embrace the West. Now, I understand from a Russian who immigrated from Russia, who served in the Russian army, that the Eastern Ukrainians are Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, and lean towards Russia. The western part of Ukraine leans toward our Roman Catholic and leans towards the West. So maybe let them split up. We don't need to get involved and try to sort that out. Now, the same thing happened with Czechoslovakia. Czechoslovakia, which was created after the end of World War One, which was the old Austro-Hungarian Empire. After World War II, they broke. After the Cold War ended, we have this breakup here. And it's no longer Czechoslovakia; it's all these different regions. So let these people do their own self-determination, and we should stop meddling. I don't know what we're going to do about Putin because he seems to want to reestablish the old Soviet Empire. And another thing, people think he is KGB. He's not. Putin, I'm told, is actually German or in ethnicity, and also he was with GRU, which was Russian military intelligence. He's a lot smarter than certainly in Mr. O. So these are things that we need to look at and say, hey, this is not a win-win proposition for us. Excuse me. So this, in a way, is the rest of the story. There will be more. A lot of things are happening over there, and of course, it's still the old politics. And you know, our people, Mr. Rowe is, you know, he's way in over his head. I understand that there was a telephone call from Mr. Rowe to Putin, and Mr. Rowe was put on hold for a half hour. That wouldn't surprise me. And the White House is way in over his head. Got no experience in dealing with this kind of thing. We're really at a loss. What's happening here in the United States? Now, ABC last night said that the housing market is recovering. Well, according to what's going on in New York, about 45% of those people who had mortgages, these houses are underwater. They cannot refinance. They cannot get out of the mortgages. And so they can't sell the houses or do a short sale. So, you know, what's really going on here? One of the other things happened on ABC this week was your money. Some of those things they've done have been very good on how to save money on groceries, how to save money on cable, a few other things. But when they went into the field of leasing out your car, leasing out your backyard for camping, leasing out parking space on your property for parking, and then leasing out your car, well, wait a minute. There is the specter of insurance. What does your insurance policy say? If you lease out your backyard for campers, what happens if there's an accident, child get injured, or various other liabilities that happen? Does your policy get canceled? Does your policy cover that? I don't think so. Having worked in the field, that's a commercial activity. Same thing as leasing out space for cars to park if they're going to the ball game or whatever. If there's an accident, if one of the cars that you allow on your property and you collect money for parking, that car gets in an accident, hits another car, hits a kid, whatever, are you covered? I don't think so. What about leasing out your car with one of these pink mustaches and all that? There's an accident, a collision. Does your insurance, are they going to cover you? Even if so-called pseudo taxis have $1 million policy, what if there's a collision where the judgment against you is in excess of the $1 million policy that they claim they carry? Your policy ordinarily would have to pick up, but you have a policy that's not commercial. So what happens then? You may lose your house. You may have a judgment against you which you cannot satisfy. So you need to think these things out. You may be trying to save pennies, but it's pound foolish. So we have yet to hear from Rebecca Javits on, or Rebecca, I forgot her last name, ABC on that one. I mean, this is very serious. Because these things happen. People do things figuring they'll make a little money on this end, and yet they don't have the insurance policy to cover on the other end. So that is one of the problems. Now, another major problem is this whole bicycle agenda. City Bike operates throughout North America, in Montreal, Chicago, New York, San Francisco, and we just learned that there is a huge bankruptcy involving this outfit. There are major problems, especially in Montreal, Canada, Toronto, Canada. Also, there's a huge liability lawsuit filed against City Bike in New York. So how are they going to satisfy that? Also, you know, the North American economy, in fact, the world's economy, doesn't run on two wheels. It runs on four or more. You don't get your pizza delivered by a bicycle. You don't get your takeout delivered by a bicycle. You can't call an ambulance, and it's not going to come on two wheels. And you're not going to call for a taxi. It's not going to come on two wheels. And, of course, you know, you'll cover trying to sell the world, especially North Americans, a bill of goods, claiming it's green, it doesn't pollute, but they forget. But hey, those tires are rubber. That comes from someplace. There's manufacturing. So it's all BS, as someone said. So this is another thing we need to look at. Also, if you're coming to San Francisco, especially, I tell people, don't wear flowers in your hair. Wear a crash helmet. Every day for the last 6 months, practically, a pedestrian in one part of Northern California, San Jose, other cities, has been injured or killed. We have drivers out there driving cars that they cannot handle, especially women. The Volkswagens that you see, the Porsches that you see, the BMWs that you see, are not of the same size car, the same powered car that we had 50 years ago or 40 years ago. These are muscle cars, and we don't have driver's education in the high schools anymore. And so these people have really out there, and they don't obey the rules of the road. The traffic rules are not enforced or loosely enforced. People are still on their cell phones. They're still texting. And the attitude is, you're in my way, I'll run you down. It brings to mind Governor George Wallace, who once said, when he was pissed off at the civil rights people, he said, "You lie down in front of my car, I'm going to run you over." He said, all words to that effect. So we need to, you know, re-educate people and tell people that, hey, it's not the same world out there. You have to be aware of what car you're driving and can you handle it. And also, how you handle that car, avoiding bicyclists, avoiding pedestrians who put you at risk, and they don't think about this. And then these damn pedestrians don't even stand a crosswalk, a lot of them. We have video of that. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site and Damn Reckless Driver. You will see them on their cell phones, on their tablets, dog lane, and people get pissed off because they're not walking and clearing the intersection. You know, we have that problem. You have the bicyclists who just zip through stop signs, and some of them are on cell phones. We have that. So these are issues that have to be addressed. You have to be aware of your surroundings, and you have to drive so that you are protecting yourself as well as not being an impediment or a danger to pedestrians who are observing the rules as well. By the way, that's in the driver's manual. The section on pedestrians, they have obligations also, and also the bicyclists. So these are things that we need to be aware of because insurance is expensive. We had an accident, a collision with a bicycle. Our bicycle ran us down, over $2,000 in damages, medical damages. So how is Obamacare going to cover that? That's something you need to think about. So these are among the rest of the story. Now, I have a little problem here. Oh, good heavens. By the way, here's something that came up. Did you know that there was a czar for one day just before the Nicholas II abdicated? I think it was his brother. He was the czar for one day, Tsar Michael, and then Tsar Nicholas II abdicated, and then we got this horrible thing which Churchill referred to, Bolshevism should have been strangled in its grave. Now, this week we had the anniversary of Winston Churchill coming to Fulton, Missouri, famous Iron Curtain speech. Well, the term was coined back in the 20s, we believe, by this woman named Snowden. I don't know if she's related to the Snowden who blew the whistle, so he says, on the National Security Agency and other things that our security services are doing or have he accused them of doing. So this is interesting. Also, Iron Curtain was referred to in a Goebbels speech in February 1945. This was a year before Churchill used that term in his speech at Fulton, Missouri in 1946. So give credit where it's due, and it's a term that came up after the communists, or the Bolsheviks as they were called, successfully forced the abdication of Tsar Nicholas II and took over Russia and created this horrible situation, which we still have today. I jokingly say that the sheets have changed colors, but not the attitudes and the philosophy and the tactics. Excuse me. Now, we are doing I think this is interesting. Since Serge Prokofiev died on the same day that Stalin died, and he got short shrift. But I think it's really important to remember his contribution. And I'm again going to play the interview that he gave. He's one of the great modern Russian composers. Here's an interview that he did before he died. And it's his reference.
Well, I think in some ways he's right, because in every country there are some composers of little value who are always reactionary and malevolent and not interesting at all. But I don't think I'm doing it myself reactionary art.
That last phrase was, "but I don't think I'm doing myself reactionary art." He said there are poor artists in every country and also good ones, and that the good ones would live on. Bland relayed another question, whether composers in the Soviet Union were free to write anything they pleased, or whether they were ordered to compose a certain way. Prokofiev answered,
"But certainly nobody orders me anything, so I'm writing what I want."
Nobody orders me anything, so I'm writing what I want.
He said, but Stalin decided to set himself up as a music critic, and he attacked what he called formalism and things like this. Now, I think Prokofiev's best remembered from his theme from the Love for Three Oranges, which J. Edgar Hoover used for the program called the FBI in Peace and War. And I think we ought to play that again. I think it's significant, because here the great anti-communist J. Edgar Hoover using, in fact, he used two things from totalitarian regimes. I think it's important that people know that this is one of the contradictions, that he had no qualms in using artistic themes that suited his political agenda. Also, a lot of people don't know that J. Edgar Hoover was something of a wannabe artist. So I think that's quite interesting. Well, here we go. I think we'll play this again. It's the end of the week, and we're having this problem. Excuse me. So, J. Edgar Hoover here. Here's his music selection. One of them. He also used a theme for the movie The House on 92nd Street. That's correct. The FBI discovered this Nazi spy ring, which is trying to steal our atomic bomb research and secrets so that Hitler could build a bomb. And here's a music theme from that movie. It came from Richard Strauss's Pestilich Prelude. I thought it was interesting.
Thank you.
Here's the Prokofiev thing that was used for J. Edgar Hoover's radio program called The FBI in Peace and War.
The FBI in Peace and War. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, $25,000 bond.
All right, thank you, Mr. Farrell. I've just come from the United States Commissioner's office. He said you refused counsel when you were arraigned before him this morning. Violation of the espionage laws is a major charge. I don't have to tell you that. And if Barry Calvin should fail to pull through, you're sure you don't want to change your mind about retaining counsel?
I'm sure.
What?
Well, that was a thing. So, sorry, I'm just trying my thought. I had it here, and this is. I think what we'll do is reschedule. I think we have scheduled, and we're reformatting our all of our media stuff. And in fact, we have a rare interview with the late Roger Karras, who was had with his great, beautiful Basso Profundo, was the MC for the Westminster Dog Show, and we will have an excerpt from that long half-hour interview I did with him. That will be on our Amicus Veritas Poo-Pourri. Environmental issues and more little different compared to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker, and here we go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight. Possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
Riley the gun.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrays.
Set up.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll stay.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Hey, I'm in. Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovich, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Dave, he's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Playing for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Rubbing neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable than it does, usually you can stack the deck! Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Makes the average guy a heavy smoker! There's a nominee, and give him a regard! And watch while he learns that in poker and politics, brother, you've got to have that slippery, haphazardous commodity! You've got to have the card!
Well, have a safe weekend. We'll deal with the politics in Ukraine and Crimea. This is Provozola. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas, YouTube, and go to the new poopery site, AmiCusVeritasPoupourri, and go to our AmicusVeritas.net. And we're still looking for the sections that have been hacked and knocked off the web by our enemies. We'll find them. So have a safe weekend, and spring's coming pretty soon. Stay safe. Good night.